You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Round one in the books. Round one, done. Done. Welcome to the Pride of Detroit PODcast. PrideToDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. We're getting right into it. I'm Chris Perfett, your adequate host here with Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader, and Mansoor Shaheen. No witty nickname for him, and he doesn't get the drop to play because it's not the main podcast. This is a 20-minute recap podcast of night one of the NFL draft from Nashville, Tennessee, the only place in America, the music city, the only place in America that is allowed to produce music. It says so itself. That was the sin of Lil Nas X. He just didn't make Old Town Road in Nashville. That's all. Apparently, those chuds. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the music. We're here to talk about the football. And the Lions, our Detroit Lions, have picked from Iowa, TJ Hockenson, number 8 overall, tight end from the University of Iowa. And reactions are already mixed, and we're going to get into, I think, both the highs and the lows of it. It is a pick that is dividing quite a few Lions fans, mostly because this is the third tight end picked first round by the Lions in, I would say, what is it, Jeremy?
10 years. Since 2009.
Since 2009, the
Brandon
highest.
Brandon Pettigrew.
Yep. Pettigrew, Ebron,
and yep. Now TJ Hockenson.
And it's also the highest tight end the Lions have taken since 2006, Vernon Davis, I believe.
Yeah, and any team is
Davis.
Any team.
Yeah, Davis was of Niners.
I misspoke. Thank you. Wow, adequacy already starting off the show, going right into it. So there is a lot of division on this, but we're going to get to both sides of it. But first, we've got to roll out the carpet here for Mansoor. We've got to applaud the boy. We got to applaud the boy in because you've had since when did you write this? The Lions should draft TJ Hockenson. Oh, you wrote that literally today.
So I wrote that like a month ago.
It's true. It's been sitting in the hopper for a while.
Okay.
Yeah. It's why that one's so much more different than the other ones because that one's just been sitting around for that long. But yeah, I wanted Hockenson for a while ever since Greedy Williams kind of fell off planet Earth. I was like, all right, well, we need a tight end. We need a cornerback. We also need an edge, but none of the edges look like Lions edges. Like, I never thought Brian Burns was going to be a guy the Lions picked. So I was like, all right, Hockenson, safe pick. He does everything you'd ever want. I like him. Well, I'll stand for him. And it worked out.
So that calculus didn't even change for you when the Lions went and got Jesse James?
So at first it did, but then I did like a deep dive into Jesse James's film and he's not that good. And he's not like he's bad, but he's not good enough to be a tight end one on a team that you want to win the Super Bowl. And we need that if we want to win the Super Bowl. So Hockenson.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think once again, there's like a little bit of that with a tight end, right, Jeremy? It's the history of the fact the Lions have taken a bunch of high end tight ends and they haven't worked for them. And the fact that I think some fans would see taking offense as a bit of a luxury when, once again, now this is year 3 without drafting a defensive end or an edge rusher of some kind. Probably longer than that, actually, now. But like we've known that was kind of the need for a long time. But as people say, best player available over need. And the Lions apparently thought TJ Hockenson was the best player available.
Well, I'm not sure I necessarily agree with that. I think tight end was a top 3 need on this team. I don't think defensive line is a top 5 need on this team right now, especially after they went and got Trey Flowers. I mean, you can't have too many edge rushers. I agree with that, but they have a pretty solid squad as it is right now. And I think maybe going defensive end, that could be considered a luxury pick, although there were definitely a lot of top talents in this year's draft class.
Josh Allen almost fell to the Lions.
He almost fell to the Lions.
Almost within biting distance.
But let me talk on Hockenson a little bit, because as a prospect, I don't have any problems with this pick. I think Hockenson is just the kind of guy they're looking for in a tight end. I think he is that two-way tight end where he can be an inline guy, block like the Lions want him to block. And as Matt Patricia told some of the fans tonight, you know, he can put people on their ass on the sideline if he wants to, or he can go out there and kind of be twitchy there and run good routes out there and be a legitimate receiving option. So in terms of like the kind of prospect that you're getting, the Lions got the top tight end in this draft class, no question. I think he sets himself apart from pretty much everyone else in this draft class, including his teammate Noah Font. But there are some criticisms. Yes, there are a lot of criticisms of this pick, and some of them I think are worthy of discussion. And I think it kind of goes into three different camps. The first one is that there are better players available. I made the argument on Thursday morning. Ed Oliver was my guy. Ed Oliver was there at number eight. Obviously, he was good value there at number eight because he went the next pick for the Buffalo Bills.
Burns was there too. He was
Brian,
writer's draft.
But I'm kind of with Mansoor that I don't think he was the perfect fit in this defense. I do think he was more pure pass rusher, and the Lions love versatility, and I don't think Brian Burns brings that. The one thing I will say about Hockenson over Oliver is I think you're going to get more first year production out of TJ Hockenson, because Ed Oliver doesn't have a clear starting role in this defense the way it's currently set up, because like I was saying, Lions defensive line is kind of good right now. Hockenson going to be a day one starter. Him and Jesse James are going to be 1A, 1B, as Bob Quinn was saying on Thursday night, this is a 3-down, 4-down guy. He could potentially play 80-90% of the snaps if they need him to, and I think that's the plan down the line.
I would say too, like having Jesse James and Hockenson, they're both good enough. You could run a two tight end set, something the Lions have thought about doing for a while and just haven't been able to with the personnel.
And they absolutely will. We're going to see, you know, maybe them both in line on, you know, goal line downs. Maybe we'll see one in line, one, you know, stretched out in the slot. We're going to see a lot of versatility there, and it will be, you know, kind of a nightmare matchup for some defenses. Criticism number two. And this is one that is more speculative than fact, and that's,
oh baby,
the Lions should have traded down. And we do know, based on reports, that they had offers. Bob Quinn even said tonight that there were conversations to be had. But the question is, what were the deals? How far should they trade down? All these things we don't know. You know, in my ideal scenario, I would have loved to see them trade down to 11 with the Bengals. Because the Packers are one of those teams that do have Hockenson on their board. A lot of people had him sliding there. If the Lions could have somehow made it to 11 and still gotten Hockenson, ideal scenario. But I think the more likely thing is that a team like the Steelers, which did jump up from, what, 20 to 10? Maybe they were on the phone. They really wanted Devin Bush. It was very clear from the beginning of the day that Devin Bush was high on their list. They went out and got him. But now you're talking about the Lions sitting at 20, where, ironically, Noah Fant went. So would you take Noah Fant, a second round, and a third, and next year's third, I think is what the Steelers traded?
Yeah, it was like nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I noticed too, because I think did the Broncos trade back as well?
Broncos. Yeah, they were the same trade. Yeah.
Same trade, right. Like that's kind of what I was shocked, is that the Broncos, by moving back, did not get that much. We've been told the past year or so, like trading up to like top 10, you're going to have to give up quite a haul. Like, yeah, you know,
in the past, teams have gotten first round picks for
things. Yeah, exactly. Like that. Exactly. And I did not just whatever the Steelers were all, like the Steelers did not have to give up much to move up. So I'm kind of curious how rich those trades were. And if that was to move up to 10, I don't see how much number eight is suddenly like a lion's share richer.
Right. It probably wasn't. So, I mean, the Lions would probably have to take a deal that they're not thrilled about, move down and miss out on, you know, the next 10 prospects on their board. Is that worth it? I don't know. It's a hard decision. I'm always a fan of trading down, so I would still very much consider it.
Trade down.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Last criticism of this pick, and this is the one that I think has the most validity, and it's something that I'm actually going to be writing about for Friday. Is a tight end worth a top 10 pick? Period. I don't know. Because if you look at the way that the NFL values them in terms of contracts, it's one of the lowest contract position, lowest earning contract position in the NFL. The only one that's lower might surprise you amongst the top 10 in each position, running back.
Of course.
Yep. So, you know, in terms of salaries, it's clear a lot of NFL teams don't view tight end as one of the most valuable positions. So taking one with your eighth overall pick, maybe not a good value pick. Also, in terms of approximate value, which Pro Football Reference creates, tight ends are actually the lowest position in the NFL, according to the top 10 players at each position. So that's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow, but I do think tight end is going to be more valuable to a team like the Lions than most other teams, and it certainly was one of this team's biggest needs. So overall, I'm fine with it. It's just not something that blows me away. Like an Oliver pick would have blown me away just because I think that guy's ceiling is so much higher than TJ Hockenson's.
Well, that's a lot. don't have. Yeah, go on, Mansoor. Right. I'm collecting my thoughts.
Oh, I have kind of response to all three of the things Jeremy said. So, the first thing with like the best player available. So yeah, if Lions went straight BPA at 8, Ed Oliver is probably the pick. But kind of what Jeremy said, like we have enough defensive tackles. Even the big edge we signed, Trey Flowers, he plays a lot of 3-tech. Like Oliver would only be on the field for 30% of snaps. And if we're a team who wants to make noise this year, we probably need to do more. We need more from our first round pick. We want our first round pick on the field at least like 70, 80% of snaps. What was the second thing you said? I blanked.
That's
why we can't do multi
trade down.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Trading down. That's, so like in my opinion, at least there were like 5 prospects that were just so far beyond everyone else. It was Oliver, Hockenson, Bosa, Quinnen, and, Josh Allen, not in that order, but like just those 5. Yeah. So you trade down, you pick at 15 or 12 or 20 or wherever, you now missed out on all 5 of those guys. Yeah. Sure. You get another guy in the third round that's probably never going to make an impact in the NFL, but you miss out on this elite prospect. One elite player is better than one pretty good player and one guy who's going to play special teams one day. Like value wise, you always like trading down. If it's like last year where the Packers like kind of robbed the Saints to get that defensive end from UTSA, whose name I don't remember, then you trade down that situation. But the Lions trading down, you miss out on the elite prospects. Don't do that.
Yeah.
And then your final point about
Devin Bush too. A lot of people like Devin Bush, but yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And then your final point about tight ends not being worth it. So I think, tight end is definitely one of the like least valuable positions on offense other than like running back. But also I think the reason why like tight ends don't get paid too well is because there aren't a lot of good tight ends in the NFL. Like other than Ertz, Kelsey, Gronk's gone. So who? Ertz, Kelsey. Who's the other one? Kittle. Is that it for good
like
tight ends in the NFL?
Graham, but
maybe
I mean
Evan Ingram, maybe.
Ingram, maybe. Yo, Ebron, he's good.
We almost went the whole podcast without saying his name.
Hey yo. Yep.
That guy's pretty good. Jimmy Graham's good. But like getting a good tight end, the NFL is so hard. And hopefully we have one now. And that's like at max 10 teams might have a good tight end. So even though it's not a position that gets paid well, like I think Jeremy even says the PFF grades for them suck. And it's because like, not because of position, it's because the players are just bad. It's just a position that's in a really bad place. Last year, when you guys were doing your top 10 list, you guys were putting players who like had torn ACLs.
Okay.
Someone put a 35-year-old, I forgot who it was, but like one of you put like the Saints backup tight end. And that's just where the position is in the NFL right now. But having an elite one can win you a Super Bowl, as we've seen with the Patriots. But getting an elite one's so hard because getting like an average one is just hard.
And I mean, if Hockenson is elite, isn't that like a major boon to, and I will keep banging this drum, what made Stafford great in 2016? He was on the money, but more importantly, he had an interior receiving threats especially with Anquan Boldin. I mean, like, we know that when he has those options and he's in a system that promotes those options, I don't know if that'll be the same system with the new offensive coordinator, but he does very well on those kind of, you know, passing to the short routes. And that's what a tight end is there for when he's a receiving threat.
Absolutely. I mean, and Stafford loves himself a security blanket in the red zone and in third downs. And it was Anquan Boldin that year. After that, it was kind of Golden Tate for the rest of the way. Now both those guys are gone. And yeah, I do think TJ Hockenson could be that guy. Bob Quinn absolutely thinks he could be that guy. He mentioned it several times in his press conference that, you know, he's going to be a red zone threat. He's going to be a third down threat. And yeah, that threat over the middle with a guy that isn't afraid to catch over the middle and, you know, one drop last year. So in case you want to compare him to other tight ends the Lions used to have, not hands, not too much of an issue with TJ Hockenson.
Cursing him like he cursed himself.
He can also block.
Yes, and that's the other thing that definitely separates him from Ebron. Let's just say his name. We've only said it twice, so he's not going to show up and tweet Ebron at me eggplant emojis.
I said he was good, so if he's mad, like, there's no reason to be
mad. He actually had Lions fans coming to him about this, and he even said, you know, hey, maybe this will get, you know, someone was like, maybe this will get their mention, you know, your name stop being mentioned in town. It's like, yeah, good. Hope he does well.
I like Ebron.
Yeah, you guys
back on on topic, I guess.
Here's the one thing
I mean, like that is a shadow that's going to continue to follow him, because again, like, for good or for ill, like, and it can really double down on him fast, because if it goes south, then not only will he be compared, you know, have to wear that the goat bell of other highly drafted Detroit Lions tight ends, but it'd also be okay. Maybe is he better than Eric Ebron? I digress. I'll let Jeremy get back to his point.
Well, I just wanted to have one kind of over-encompassing point, and this has more to do with Bob Quinn than it does TJ Hockenson, and it's just that this is now kind of a recurring theme of his first-round picks, is that he just really likes these high-floor, in my opinion, low-ceiling guys that are just very safe picks.
He seems to invest a lot more in that offensive line as well, too.
Yeah, I mean, all these guys are just guys who do their job really well. They're high character guys. They're guys that don't have a lot of questions about their technique or their translation to the NFL game. They kind of play in systems that they're familiar with. Like when you think of about a guy like Deshaun Hand or A'shaun Robinson, guys that they've drafted, they fit right into the schemes that they currently play in, and makes a lot of sense. And so you get a guy like TJ Hockenson, who's played in a pro style offense his entire college career. You know, his transition is going to be a lot easier into the NFL as opposed to some of these other tight ends that you know, either came from small schools or spread offenses or things like that. Hockenson is just like a really nice, easy pick, but it's just not sexy. Like, it's not sexy like an Ed Oliver pick would be, where, you know, Ed Oliver is a risk. He's undersized. He's coming from a small school. He didn't quite dominate the competition as you'd expect someone like he does, but that athletic upside and some of the things that he does on tape, things like, ooh, this could be a Hall of Famer. And I just don't get that feeling from TJ Hockenson. You're just like, that guy might make a Pro Bowl or two.
He just looks dorky. I think that might be the next big thing.
From, like, Iowa.
You're saying all people from Iowa are dorky?
Probably.
Wow. Get a load of this guy over here, folks.
The coastal elites. Oh, no, me and Chris are the coastal elites. Jeremy's in the Midwest.
I mean, Jeremy went to Michigan. He's kind of...
I'm a Midwestern elite.
Midwestern.
No, that
elite.
Is a coastal elite, because at some point in your life, you will end up back in California or Florida.
You don't know me.
I'd say that
I know people from Michigan.
The mold that Jeremy just set for old Bob Quinn's picks, Hockenson definitely fits into it. But thinking back on past Bob Quinn picks, I think Jared Davis is a player that doesn't at all fit it. Just comes to mind. Really athletic, but he couldn't tackle for shit and had no play instincts. And that's still a problem.
Well, sure, I mean,
he also had, like, you know, the fact that he, you know, he's a tape monster, you know, he's high character guy who,
oh God, here we go.
Everything.
Ray Lewis in the locker room.
Right. Just, I don't know. These guys that scream football in their DNA, but, you know, the I guess there were definitely more red flags with Jared Davis than maybe some of the other guys.
All right. And now I want to devote the last 5 minutes of this here, if we can, to talking about what's probably going to happen coming up on here Saturday, because as I was alluding to, this isn't the only pick the Lions are going to have. And I still think there could be some good defensive talent coming in that second round. And also other needs start to open up as well, especially as we get into more interesting things. So, Jeremy, I want you to tell me why the Lions are going to draft a quarterback in the second round.
I'm just going to pretend that I misheard you and you said cornerback, because cornerback does make a lot of sense in the second round. There was only one taken in the first round, DeAndre Baker, who I don't even think was a great fit for the Lions in that first round. Definitely not in the first round. And I wouldn't have wanted DeAndre Baker in the second, but you know, basically they have their pick of the litter, and with the 11th pick in the second round, they might have to be a little aggressive if they want to, if they have a guy in mind, and this extra day in between the first round and the second round kind of give teams that opportunity to think it over a little more. But yeah, I think cornerback is definitely one of the hotter positions here in the second round. And I wouldn't be surprised to see the Lions maybe even get aggressive and trade up like they did for Kerryon last year.
Trade up. Mansoor, your take on the second round.
Yeah, so there's a surprisingly a lot of like talent in the second round just available for us. And we're like guaranteed to get a good player, even if we don't trade up or anything. And I think it's because like there were just five players so much better than everyone else. So everyone else is just the same. Like everyone else, like picks 6 through 90 are the same skill level. So like we're guaranteed at least someone of like Nasir Adderley or Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They're both safeties, great coverage range, can kind of fill the Glover Quinn role. Like Chris, you talk about like Anquan Boldin, how great he was for Stafford. The Ole Miss receiver, AJ Brown, right? That's his name. AJ Brown. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's kind of similar, big body guy. He can play inside, good catch radius, all that stuff. DK Metcalf is obviously like, I feel like that'd be a bit of a luxury pick because apparently he can't separate because his hips are stiff, but he would be an incredible addition. Greedy Williams is still there. Armani, I can't say his last name, but the
Armani Oruwariye.
Yeah, Armani Oruwariye, who I know Kent is in love with and even was considering taking him at like 8 if he was like, he said like he would be fine with Armani at 8. Yep, so
Reno too.
He must, and Reno, so he must be amazing. And then we could also go offense again with the Texas A&M guard, Eric McCoy, mm-hmm. who could probably fill our biggest need, or our biggest need on offense right there. So we're going to land one of those players no matter what. And we could even trade up and get aggressive because if from moving from pick 11 in the second round to like pick 4, we might have to give up what, like a fourth rounder or something. I'm entirely fine with that. I wish we would have done that to get to pick 32 for the fifth year option, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting at the very end of that. It's like, okay, it's the Patriots. The Lions like to trade with the Patriots. Are they going to do it? They have all these 6th and 7th round picks. Might as well use them to trade up. Like part of it is because I don't like sitting around on day 3 just waiting for picks that I barely know to be made. So if the Lions trade all those away so that I can rest easy on Sunday afternoon, that'd be great. But at the same time, like, why not use that to move up a little bit and make sure you get the guy that you want? Even though, like you said, there's so many options here along the offensive line. Like you said, addressing a guard need with like an Eric McCoy or Greg Little, and then cornerback is just like bumping. Like I'm looking at Alex Reno's top remaining players on day 2. I will take any of the top 5 cornerbacks remaining. Imani Oruwariye, Greedy Williams, Byron Murphy, Justin Lane, David Long. Give me any of those guys. And maybe because it's so deep, maybe the Lions do sit back and kind of rest on their laurels there at 11th overall and just wait for one of those guys to fall. But if there's one of those guys that really sticks out to them, I have no problem with them jumping and getting them.
All right, we're going to leave it there. We will be back here later in the weekend. So we're going to try to get out some preview podcasts. We're going to be very busy here. We're going to get out more preview podcasts, excuse me, of the next rounds of the draft. And then, of course, big time Pride of Detroit podcast coming to you. Probably out on Monday morning. We'll have to see. You know, this is a big weekend for all of us. Shout out to everyone who came, by the way, to the Pride of Detroit party in Detroit itself, everyone who showed up to B-dubs, ironically enough, the 3 people running the show right now, none of us were there. So that just tells you how good it was. Everyone else was just knocked out cold by all the fun times that they had. Catch you around next time. Make sure to subscribe. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. I keep calling it iTunes, Apple Podcasts, I guess it is now. Google Play Podcasts. You know where to find us, baby. We'll see you next time here. Bye-bye.